Welcome to this episode of the Cinema Guys. This episode, we're going to talk about one of my favorite genres in movies, animation. Not only that, but stop motion animation. We went to see Kubo and the Two Strings. Here with me are my fellow Cinema Guys, Justin and Michael.
Hello.
Oh, that was like right in sync. Well done.
We're going to start things off with something a little new this week that we call Top This.
Top This.
This is where we will give you a list from a category, genre, or something else that we choose. I think this week we should just start off animation. Top, say, three animated movies.
Well, you guys should go first because you have, like, real animation. I appreciate the artwork that's done in them, but not my favorite. So you guys go, and then I'll tell you mine.
Well, my top three, it was actually pretty easy coming up with a 3 to 4. My top animated movie of all time is Nightmare Before Christmas, followed by The Lion King, and then WALL-E, with Coraline as a close behind that.
My first date ever was at Lion King. I took a girl, like, where I actually picked her up from her house, we went to dinner, and then we went to a movie.
Did you sing Hakuna Matata on the way home?
I should have.
Or did she dump you for JTT in the hope of...
Ooh, no way, man. It was awesome. I played. I got a little teary. She's like, oh, you're so sensitive. I'm like, yeah. That's what I... As soon as she said Lion King, I was like, Jamie Brown. We'll hopefully to, she's we'll not to, listening.
What we'll to bleep her name out.
Podcast. For privacy's sake, we're calling her Jamie Brown.
Not a real name.
Yes.
Top three animated movies, in no particular order, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, Spirited Away... And it's not technically a movie, but I'm going to go with Over the Garden Wall.
Over the Garden Wall? What's this?
What is this?
That was...
It's not technically a movie.
Well, it's 10 or 12 episodes, but they're 11 minutes each. And it was a Adult Swim or Cartoon Network show done by one of the guys who animated Adventure Time. That's this really kind of weird, dark, real surreal movie that I thought was great.
I didn't know we were allowed to put episodes or something, because that would change mine completely.
Hey, I just threw it out there.
All right,
it's about 2 hours.
Your top three animation, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, that might change a little bit. I'm going to do three, and then I'm going to do my asterisk one with the addition of episodes. So my number one is Robin Hood, the Disney. I loved it. I actually love those old Disney ones because you're seeing, like, really cool pieces of art. And all of, like, Bambi had really, really good art in it.
That one's probably in my top 10
animation. I love Robin Hood. Love the songs. Like, I can still sing them. I, like, loved it. I love The Incredibles. I remember that was one of the first Pixar films that I fell in love with, where I was like, I'm fascinated by this. Because it was... So, my deal with animation is that it always reminds me of my children. And like, oh, they're kids' films. But I remember sitting in Incredibles being like, oh, wow, this is really good and funny, and my kids like it, and I think it's amazing. I could watch that over and over and over again. And my third, which no one probably agrees with, but I love the Kung Fu Panda movies. I think they're great. I didn't care for the third one, actually. But the first one, I remember watching it being like, I love this story. I love every little side. When Po goes in and knocks over all the old relics and they all have this name and they all do this interaction, I'm like, this is brilliant. Someone put a lot of thought into that. So I really, really, really like this. My asterisk would be the Avatar animated series is one of the best things I've ever seen on television. I might even go one of my favorite television series ever. Wow. Because it's so... Well done. I loved it. And I only watched it because I saw the movie first. And I was like, yeah, this isn't a good movie. But in the movie, I was like, I think there's a good idea behind this. So I went. And I did the same thing with Twilight, actually. I saw the Twilight movie. I was like, this is a really bad movie, but I think there's a good idea behind this. And I read all the books, and I was like, yeah, probably. One other thing, I was just thinking, if we're throwing in episodes of things, I think Phineas and Ferb... is one of the best cartoons I've ever seen ever. But see, this is where you guys are going to get super artsy, and I'm going to be like, oh, no, Phineas and Ferb was really good.
I mean, my favorite ongoing show right now is Rick and Morty. So
yeah, that's been recommended to me, and I have not watched it yet.
I have not seen it yet.
Although I have a Rick and Morty t-shirt that I got in a loot crate.
I know. I saw that came up a couple months ago.
If I went, like, favorite TV, it would be simple, like, Aqua Teen Hunger Force or South Park, just because.
Which I would not applaud Aqua Teen Hunger Force for its artistic.
No, not at all.
Animation, because I feel like I could have done that with Final Cut and a couple of drawings.
Flash.
Yes.
I watch it because it's going to make me laugh.
That's the thing with animation. But you could also go into your favorite, like internet Flash videos, like is it Homestar Runner? Mm-hmm. Is it other things?
Or even what's your favorite childhood memory animated film.
Oh, dang it. Now Robin Hood's in that. Now I gotta change mine.
Because, like, I have one that's Flight of Dragons, which is a Rankin and Bass. Guys who did the holiday specials. I mean, I barely remember, but it's very sword and sorcery, dragons. Guy gets turned into a dragon and has to go through all his trials.
Mine that I always think of as childhood memory animated movies is the Watership Down.
That's a great one.
Again, you guys are super artsy. Mine's Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, I like, love the Brave Little Toaster.
I've never seen the Brave Little Toaster and, like, crying. Like, this toaster, he's not going to get back to his home.
Well, then you also have, like, The Hobbit. I watched The Hobbit
a billion times. I did not like The Hobbit. Or The Hobbit and Wind in the Willows. Do you remember both these?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There was that both that 70s trippy animation that, like, I thought was really weird. It weirded me out.
I always loved the Wallace and Gromit, too, but I love stop motion.
Wallace and Gromit. This is why...
Gromit.
This is why I didn't like Box Trolls, which I guess we'll get to probably a little bit. But I didn't like it because I hate Wallace and Gromit. I hate the chicken one. Isn't there a chicken run?
Chicken, like,
run. I love that chicken style. Run. The whole time, I'm like, it probably sounds racist. Very British to me. And I don't like the British.
I think they are a British company.
The proper term.
Yes. What's that?
I think xenophobic is the proper term.
Xenophobic. Is that it? Yeah. These things are not funny to me and they're dumb. And I'm like, what? That's stupid. The Shaun the Sheep is another one.
Mm-hmm. These are all done by, what is it? Arben.
It's all by animation. The same guy. He also did Pirates.
Yes. Pirates. Yep. Flushed Away with the mice. Yep.
All these I don't care for. Another animation style I hate, again, it's British, is Danger Mouse. You remember Danger Mouse?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, dude, Netflix just remade it.
They did, yeah.
And I actually watched it with the kids, and they hated that one. I was like, good, because I hated the original one.
But what about Count Duckula?
Ooh, now I did love Count Duckula.
I don't know if I ever saw Count Duckula.
It was very that same sort of like style, right?
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it backed up.
Was it bigger than a Breadbox Nanny? Was that part of the theme song?
That I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm actually almost positive.
Because it was on Nickelodeon.
I think a lot of TV. And I remember all the theme songs. It was like, bigger than a bread. And I was always like, what's a Breadbox? And my mom's like, it's British. I was like, oh. So it sounds like my mom with a cigarette in her mouth, which I wish she did. It wasn't
so me. If it's a British animated movie, you will probably not see it.
Or I think so.
There's possibility you may not enjoy
it. I am actually almost positive. That's true. I can't think of an exception to it.
Okay, fair enough. To each their own.
I love Hugh Grant, though.
And he's an animated person.
Yes, I do love Hugh Grant.
So you like domestic animation, more the Disney style.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Although I did love Nightmare Before Christmas. Would that be domestic?
I loved
Kubo. I really liked Fantastic Mr. Fox. I liked... There's another one in that list that's been out recently. Oh, the Hispanic one. Book of Life.
I love the Book of Life.
That was awesome.
I mean, really. The thing I love about animation is that it is a medium that you can do anything in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your imagination is the limit versus, right. You know, a live-action movie, you're limited to a certain degree. Obviously, CGI makes it a little bit easier nowadays. Right. But animation, you can do whatever you want.
Right. You can make it as crazy as you want.
Yeah.
And the stop animation, I mean, especially at the end of Kubo, they show a real quick scene. I wish they would have showed more of that kind of stuff. Like, them actually... how big it is actually pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, the places they've taken stop motion is amazing. I mean, you think back to King Kong is probably the earliest example, but then you have like Jason the Argonauts and Clash of Titans.
Went into Harryhausen. He did phenomenal stuff back then. Just,
yeah. Question: did you ever make your own stop animation videos when you were little?
I've made one with my daughter.
Oh, I think I actually have some of my own ones. We used to do it. I loved it. I still thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I was deprived of not having a camera.
Clay. I'm pretty good with clay. I was like making cool clay figures. By the end of it, they're all pretty melty and gross, though. But in the beginning, they're, like, awesome looking.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Red Tree Art Gallery and Coffee Shop.
Let me tell you, I love coffee. I don't want Starbucks. I don't want some watery swill that old Lady Ethel made from church on Sunday. I want good coffee. I want a place to work. I want Wi-Fi. I want good customer service, not the, hey, my manager told me to say hi to people. Nice. But I want real, genuine customer service. I want good food, good local food, and I want a nice community space to hang out. I know I want a lot. I get it. Well, guess what? I found the place. I found where you need to be. It's Red Tree Art Gallery and Coffee Shop, 3210 Madison Road in Oakley, Cincinnati. Come, use the word cinema guys for a free small drip coffee. Let them know we sent you. Enjoy the place. I know you will.
So, I guess we can continue on, and let's get into our review. We recently just saw Kubo and the Two Strings. This is the fourth movie release by Laika, who has also done other stop-motion movies as Coraline, Paranorman, and The Box Trolls before this, all of which I really like. I love their style. I love their animation.
Paranorman had the dead dog.
No, you're thinking of Frankenweenie.
Frankenweenie. He didn't do Frankenweenie?
That's no. Tim Burton.
That's Tim Burton.
Oh, okay. I look the same. And Tim Burton did Corpse Bride.
Frankenweenie. Nightmare Before Christmas. He wrote Nightmare Before Christmas and did some of the design. Gotcha. Someone else directed it. Mm-hmm. Henry Selick.
They're kind of similar styles. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they have all the similar styles.
Well, Henry Selick, who directed Coraline, also did Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. James and the Giant Peach, did he do that one?
Think so, and then
Chance of the Giant Peach was weird.
And then he did the Monkey Bone.
Oh, Monkey Bone with Brendan Fraser.
Yes,
that was like his drawings coming to life. It was like Cool World in reverse.
It's not that bad.
Kubo and the Two Strings. I really enjoyed it. I thought the animation was phenomenal.
What do they use? Do you know what they're using? They're not using clay anymore, right? Obviously,
They kind of mold it onto like a wire.
Because I know that, I remember for Nightmare Before Christmas, I remember seeing a video where they had like, 100 jackheads that would like his face doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they just either move his head or they could pop the mouth out and put a new mouth in so that they could...
They still pretty much do it the same way. I think with 3D printers, I think it's made it a lot easier for them to do it as well.
Take that, sculptors. We can do it with computers.
Just gotta do it in a computer and print it off.
No, it's amazing. I think it's very, like, that, the very first scene of Kubo in the ocean, I was, like, blown away. I was like, oh, okay, I'm glad I saw this on the big screen.
The one that got me at the beginning when he started playing and all his, like, origami figures came to life and were flying around and just, like...
Which they never make much mention to. No one's amazed by this. In this world, no one's amazed.
Well, they're amazed, but they just take it for face value.
They're like, "Oh, here comes," and I'm like, "He's making money." I'm like, "He should be making a lot more money." And they shouldn't be mad they didn't finish the story because no one got work done that day. Because he's just like, "It's cool."
I mean, let's be honest; he would be burned as a witch in reality.
Right. That's right. No, I liked it. You know, I guess Pixar has set a precedent for me, starting maybe even with Up or all of them, where like. There's something gut-wrenching in it where it brings me to tears where I'm just like, oh, man, I need to re-examine my life.
Pixar is very good at, like, bringing you to tears.
To the point where I think they've done it so much that when they don't do it, like, The Good Dinosaur, I hate it. I thought it was so dumb. Actually, it was The Lion King. The Good Dinosaur was The Lion King. They stole the story. Did you see it?
That's the one Pixar movie I have not seen yet.
There's, like, literally a scene where I'm like... Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the exact same scene and everything from The Lion King when Mufasa dies. Spoiler alert. And
except they have Western accents.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, like real country accents.
It's a cowboy movie.
Yeah, well, of course dinosaurs have that. But the whole time I was like, this isn't great. It's okay. It's not amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't their best outing.
Right, which is fine, but I feel like they've set this precedent of like, hey, we're going to make you cry. Because that really did it. And Wall-E, the same thing. Like,
I also feel like the Disney side of that equation has also been pulling a lot more weight than it has in the past. Mm. I mean, Wreck-It Ralph was wonderful.
I loved Wreck-It Ralph. I loved it. Yeah. That was a good one.
Since John Lasseter took over on that side, like,
I mean,
you could tell that they've
upped their game a lot.
Wreck-It Ralph, Tangled was great, and obviously Frozen was a huge hit.
And then Inside Out is one of my favorite movies of last year.
I just thought it was okay. I liked it alright.
They actually kind of started their turnaround Disney did with Bolt. I thought Bolt kind of was like, oh, this is good. They're kind of like back on this upswing.
But yeah, so anyways, with Kubo, I thought I was the whole time like, man, something is going to happen that just
like cuts me in two, and it was good. It wasn't like I was like okay, yeah, that's good.
I mean, I'm kind of more in that. I mean, I liked it. It wasn't my favorite. I felt a lot of it could have been done as practical. I didn't think it was that. There's some scenes that are very amazing, like the big skeleton scene.
Yeah,
but overall, I was like, I could see this as a live action movie just as easily,
Or like a Japan anime. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of like the sisters.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's
the sisters were like straight out of some anime movie. Yeah. Or
I mean, it's pulling from a lot of Japanese traditions. I feel like it could be a great Miyazaki film.
Now I've read that it's an adapted story. It's not an original story.
That seems right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We didn't do our research.
No.
I mean, later on we'll edit in. Oh yes, exactly. No, I read that somewhere, but who knows? But yeah. So my deal with animation is because. Our friend Jason, like, I mean, animation is like it. Every new cartoon that comes out, he's like, this is the best movie that's ever been invented. I just think I think I'm the opposite. I like to see what we can do with live action, and I think animation, I'm like, I really think the art's awesome. I just don't ever like love them, and I always equate them to my kids. Like, I actually felt guilty the night we saw this. I was like, I should probably be seeing this with my kids.
And I feel like sometimes the stories do become a little more simplified for children.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Which isn't a bad thing, but sometimes it's like you could go a little more in-depth. Like I felt with Kubo, it could be a little bit more emotional, could have been a little more adult-themed, it would have been a lot better.
So, did you see, what was that one that came out last year? It was an anime movie, Norm of the North.
No, I did not
see it. It's been dubbed like the worst movie ever made.
Worst movie. And there's another one that came out a couple years ago that I heard a podcast where they were all like all making fun of it. Anyways, there's these movies that people keep making, and the guys who made Norm of the North, there's been a preview lately of this like John Crusoe.
Oh, the one that we saw in front of Kubo that it looked
horrible. I've seen it quite, and it's the same person. And I'm like, who's spending the time doing all this animation for horrible movies? Because like Norm of the North was like this huge like budgeted film too.
I mean, most of those movies end up making back whatever they spent because
kids are going to see it.
Kids are going to, I mean, parents are going to take their kids to see it.
Let's go see a movie. We've seen all these. Well, let's see Norm of the North.
And you.
Yeah, I do that.
Just by watching them, you can see that they don't have the budget, say, as a Pixar or Disney. That's you can tell that it's not like a $200 million anime movie.
And they're going to be able to sell it to Cartoon Network or, you know, or whatever the channels are. And they're going to be able to play it a bunch of times. And I mean, the other thing that's odd about these movies is they're made like 4 years in advance. Like they're like they're like making these things. Like there was that movie Turkey Day, or that was about the Thanksgiving turkeys.
Oh God, I don't remember.
And they already had a sequel lined up before it was even out.
Wow!
Because they have to start writing and animating it.
Turkey Day. I don't even remember this one.
It came out. It's Owen British. Wilson, no. British movie about Thanksgiving.
All right. Ooh, well done. Clever you. Maybe they're angry.
They could be. They're like, we need to get back at them because we're going to take away Thanksgiving.
This is the thing with animation right now. Anybody with a computer can almost do this.
Well, there's a bunch coming out. I mean, I've seen the previews lately for Trolls, which looks good. The Storks one, which looks okay.
It's all right.
The Caruso one.
Which looks
cool. There's one more that they keep previewing also. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of animated films coming
Sing.
Out. Sing, that's it, with the pig and the grocery store. That looks
like
it could
be pretty good. But the thing I like about Laika's movies, not just because they're stop motion, which I love, but they tend to be a little darker and not so, hey, it's your typical kids movie. Like,
yeah.
Coraline goes pretty dark. I know it's based off of a Neil Gaiman story, but, I mean, this is like, okay, this isn't your typical kids movie.
Yeah, they're definitely willing to go a little bit more extreme.
Yeah, and Neil Gaiman's got some crazy... he wrote this one book called The Adventures of an Oyster Boy, and it was a kid that has an oyster for a head.
No, that's Tim Burton.
Is that Tim Burton?
Yeah.
So I always thought that was Neil Gaiman.
Because it's a little, like, 20-page kind of...
I loved it. I thought it was the coolest thing. I didn't buy it, actually. I went to just Barnes & Noble and read it, and I was like, oh, I can finish this before I even buy it.
I had that.
I always thought that was Neil Gaiman. But you did Sandman, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And the upcoming American Gods.
And he co-wrote Good Omens?
I know he did Coraline, which I loved.
Delgo. That's that other really bad animation I was thinking of that came out a while ago.
The one with Johnny Depp. Rango.
Rango's like, I like Rango.
Oh, I love Rango.
I didn't like it either. I was so bored. I was so bored.
The animation was pretty good. Yeah. Too many English people.
The new Magnificent Seven looks like a great Western. Silverado was a great Western. Tombstone. I don't know about Rango. I wouldn't put it in my top Western list.
I think you should. You should go back and revisit Rango.
Maybe I should revisit Rango because I do love Westerns. But
I mean, so American Tail 2, Fabio Goes West, but.
Oh man. Well, there definitely are cats in America, that's for sure.
There definitely are.
Looking at it, out of the four movies they've made, I think Kubo, like, it had a dark moment in it, but I don't feel like it went, you know, say like Coraline, right. Paranorman, where it was basically a zombie movie.
Yeah.
And then Box Trolls, I mean, it got fairly dark towards the end, but.
Well, and the twist in this movie that no other, I don't think, animation I've seen in a while has is a redemptive villain, which is cool.
Oh, yes, yes.
Spoiler alert. But there's a redemption to the villain as opposed to a defeat of the villain or, you know, an execution of the villain. It's like, oh, he's been redeemed, which is, I thought was really cool.
Wasn't that just a, hey, the good guys won, okay.
Yeah. Although I felt really dumb, like, the two strings. Once you find out what the two strings are, I was like, oh. I should have got that from the beginning of the movie, and I didn't put that together. I didn't get it until the end either.
That's good writing.
This is good writing. I felt like it was so obvious that like everyone else in this theater got it. I didn't get it.
No one else got it. Maybe the smart people in the back got it. Not we didn't.
I was like,
yeah, the five people didn't.
That's what it was. I was excited. Other animations this year so far. That you guys did not see with me was Sausage Party.
No, I have not seen it. I really want to see it, but I have not seen it.
P.S. Don't go to the theater in the middle of the afternoon by yourself to see it because you just feel creepy. I felt like I did something that I should go apologize about. Is what I felt like.
I'm pretty sure you feel creepy any time of the day with that movie.
I don't know. I think I was with a couple of friends and we're like laughing. Like, oh, that was crazy, right? That's a little different than like...
Just by yourself. Maybe you shouldn't have worn the trench coat.
Yeah.
So, I guess now we give some recommendations for everyone to watch at home. Do you have anything that you want to promote for them to watch?
Little Prince?
I haven't finished it yet, but the beginning, it's going in a good direction.
I thought it was really good. And it's got a little bit of stop animation mixed with computer animation.
It does.
Really cool.
It is almost... I'm only maybe halfway through, but it is similar to Kubo, where it's kind of like that paper, you know, the origami kind of folded paper animation of the characters and stuff.
But that's not my at-home recommendation. I just liked it.
That is just one at home that you could watch.
Netflix is putting out a bunch of animated stuff right now, and none of it's great. I mean, that is good. It's a movie.
There's a lot of animated kid stuff that my kids are really into right now.
Like which ones?
Storybots is one.
Oh, so my kids haven't watched that.
There's one called Beat Bugs.
Have you seen the one with the frogs?
There's one called Beat Bugs that every episode is based around a Beatles song.
Oh. Do you feel like the animation's chintzy?
Well, the one that they're really into, Storybots, it's... Yeah, you know, like a flash animation thing.
Yeah, that's how I feel like it is. What I've really gotten into on Netflix is Doctor Strange or Jonathan Strange and Dr. Moreau. So it's a BBC TV show. It's only got 8 episodes. They're all now
English.
Yeah. Hey, it's not animated though. It's not animated.
Justin could do English drama, just not English comedy or animation.
I don't like that. I don't know, what's the one everyone watches, the English, like, butlers?
Downton Abbey?
Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey?
I
know,
I like to say it that way, because it makes me feel mad. You're like, oh, Downtown Abbey? It's Downton. It's Downton. All right? No, this one's actually really cool. And it's very British, but they kind of make fun of it being British. It's back in, I want to say, like, the 1600s, and magic has left England, and so... Dr. Morell is a guy who has studied, you know, all the magical books forever, and he is a magician who's come back. And then there's Jonathan Strange, who just naturally has come to magic, and they're the only two magicians left in the world. And they are, it's actually really good. It's a little cheeky, like they like to say there. And but I like it. I think it's actually pretty fascinating, and it's worth watching.
So it's a prequel to Doctor Strange.
Yes, this is Doctor Strange before, when his name was Jonathan.
Before he got into the car accident and ruined his hand.
I'll give three. For animation, for movie, South Park, bigger, louder, uncut. Brilliant. Brilliant.
What would Brian Boitano say?
It's so funny. I mean, Rick and Morty, definitely a must watch. It's all on Hulu right now. And I've been watching The Get Down on Netflix, which I think may be their best show of this year.
So I've only watched like 10 minutes of the first episode, and I do want to keep watching it, but I haven't. So it's really that good.
I think it's been really good. I mean, basically it's a...
I mean, you're putting up against like House of Cards, Stranger Things.
I think it's just up
New
there.
Black.
Yeah, I mean... between the two things that have caught my eye on Netflix, there's Stranger Things, but that's really nostalgia. It's a great show, but I think like the nostalgia of it really pulls it along.
Which this they just announced season 2.
Yes, which we really excited good. To see where it goes. And The Get Down has that same kind of nostalgia. It's set in the late 1970s in New York. It's about the rise of hip-hop and DJs and MCs. But not knowing that much history, just like a very cursory amount of information.
I did watch MTV's Hip Hop Week, so I know everything.
You didn't watch the VH1 History of Hip Hop?
I watched Yo MTV Raps.
But this was back in 1998 when there was still an MTV that could talk about hip hop. I don't know if they could do that anymore.
Yeah, Raps.
TV shows.
But it's a really good show. It's basically...
I will start.
It's basically getting a bunch of people together, and it's like an origin story where this group of DJs and MCs are getting together, and they're they're telling their backstory of how they got together, how they learned to be DJs, and it's super fun.
That's going to be next on my list as soon as I finish Doctor Strange or Jonathan Strange and Dr. Morell.
Well, I don't have any new shows that I'm watching. Mine, I would recommend one of my probably top five animated movies, which is Coraline.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know if it was for a while. It was. I saw it pop up, but I would highly recommend it. I love the style of it. I love the story. It's your typical story of, you know, someone moving to a new place and adjusting and all that type of stuff. But I just really enjoy that movie.
It is on HBO now, if you have access to that.
Ooh, if you're Richie McRichardson.
Or
you can rent it on iTunes or probably...
Or if you just know somebody that's a password.
You can probably get a DVD really dirt cheap in the store or something. I don't know. Well, thanks for listening to The Cinema Guys. If you like us, please spread the word. Rate us. Give us a review. We'd love to hear from you. It only makes us better. You can also follow us on Twitter, @ The Cinema Guys. And also The Cinema Guys are also on Facebook. Thanks for checking us out, and we'll see you at the movies.